God of all, give us ears to hear Christ revealed in Scripture. Give us eyes to see your light in those that surround us. And help us to remember our faith, that by your grace we might serve you until the end of our days. Amen.
So the first reading of Scripture comes from Isaiah 61 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in body or in spirit for the reading of the gospel. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So it's so good to be back with you all. It is truly a gift because Matt and I have been on the road a lot. We have been in cars a lot. Yesterday alone, we spent 7.5, 8 hours in the car driving to Alabama and back for a funeral. In between Christmas and New Year's Day, we were probably on the road 25, 30 hours in the car, which is a lot of time to be in the car with anyone. But it's especially a lot of time to be in the car with your husband. So the first 2 hours is basically a fight. Look what you have to expect, Rhett. You get to look forward to this. So the first 2 hours is a fight, arguing over Beyonce or Bob Dylan, and who has more musical genius, and whose music is better, and then which one of us, Matt or I, is better because of our musical choices. And finally, in the midst of it, Matt, the peacemaker, definitely not me. I just like dig in harder when you start fighting with me. So Matt says, "Well, what about that podcast, that Dolly Parton podcast? Would you want to listen to that?" And I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but this is it's called Dolly Parton's America. Do we have any Dolly fans in here? No, don't need to be ashamed. Raise them high. I love me some Dolly. So it's called Dolly Parton's America, and I said, you know what? Okay, we will listen to this, because there are 9 episodes all about Dolly Parton. So 9 hours later, there's 9 hours of peace in the car, and then we get to talk about it later, and then we can listen to Dolly Parton after we've heard about Dolly Parton. And this podcast is produced by Jad Abumrad, who also has a pretty well-known podcast named called Radiolab that you may have heard before. So he has money to do podcasts. And at first he thought he was just going to do one story, like one contained story on Dolly Parton. He had grown up in the South, grew up in Nashville, in the Nashville area, but he's this Lebanese guy, and so some of the things about the South weren't always the most welcoming to him, and he didn't always buy into some of the cultural symbols that Dolly represents. But he said, you know, he kept hearing from friends and people he would never expect to hear from how transformative Dolly Parton concerts are. And that really it brings together all these different kinds of people. And so this podcast was really begun as a way to answer the question, how does Dolly Parton, we're gonna get to Jesus at some point, by the way, how does Dolly Parton, how is she bringing together so many different kinds of people? And the more they dug, it ended up that it couldn't be contained in one episode. It ended up being almost 9 hours of interviews with different folks. And so they interviewed Dolly, but they also interviewed, by the way, does everyone know who Dolly Parton is? Okay, I realize we have different ages in the room. So they interviewed different people. They interviewed this Kenyan folk singer, and she was in love and completely identified with Dolly. She said when Dolly talks about her home, it reminds her home in her Kenyan village that she moved away from. They talked to a young up-and-coming folk singer. He totally identifies with Dolly Parton. And they had a story where the producer's dad actually becomes a part of the story. So the producer's dad left when there was conflict in Lebanon and came to the U.S. And he is a medical doctor, a Lebanese medical doctor at Vanderbilt. And somehow, he and Dolly are really good friends. These two people you would think have nothing in common. And so the producer starts to interview his dad. And he says, you know, Dad, why do you and Dolly connect so much? And he said, well, she grew up the same way I did. And her home up in the Appalachian Mountains in the country reminds me of my home up in the Lebanese mountains in the country. And there's no one else here at Vanderbilt that I can talk to about this stuff. But Dolly understands me. Dolly gets me. And then there are two producers, Jad, and then there's a female producer who takes a call with a guy who says he has like, you know, a Dolly story or whatever. And she's interviewing him. And his name's Tokyo. Let me get it right. I don't want to. His name is Tokyo Sexquale. And he was a South African freedom fighter, and he ends up getting arrested during the apartheid, and his cell, guess who he's right beside in his cell? Nelson Mandela. And he said that after several years, you know, Nelson Mandela was in prison for decades, after several years, the guards finally agreed to let Nelson Mandela play certain songs and play music. And so the producer's really interested, and she said, well, what music, you know, this great man, this great peacemaker, what music does Nelson Mandela choose? You know, what deep, thoughtful lyrics does he care for? And he goes, ugh. Dolly. He loved Dolly. He goes, and it wasn't just Nelson, it was everybody. And he said, you know, because Dolly speaks from her heart. And he said that the producer painted this picture of it being night in the prison and it being several years that these folks were in prison. And she had asked, you know, what is his favorite song? He said, oh, he loves Jolene. So by the way, if you haven't heard Jolene or if your kids haven't heard Jolene, take them home and make them listen to Jolene because it's amazing. But they would crank up Jolene, and she said she has this image of all these inmates listening together to Jolene, but also the guards on the other side of the wall hearing it too, tapping their foot, connecting, and sharing this experience together. And these aren't things that just happen when Dolly encounters great peacemakers and leaders, but it happens at her concerts. So often at her concerts, people who would not be caught dead in the same room together end up putting their arms around each other. Drag queens and cowboys are singing along to Jolene together, 9 to 5 together. And many of them have tears of joy streaming down their faces, in a space that normally would make them feel completely uncomfortable, and yet they found what Greg Boyle would often call kinship with people completely different from them. And they are overwhelmed by joy. And I thought, you know, this must be the definition of what a gift is. Because it's something you may have never chosen for yourself or picked out for yourself. Maybe you would have even refused had you encountered it in any other way. And yet somehow, if you are in the right mindset to receive and to be open to it, something you never expected can overwhelm you with joy. Just like the Magi were overwhelmed with joy in our story. And by the way, Bethany, thank you for stealing all my stuff. I don't even have anything else to say about the Magi. So, you know, we are celebrating Epiphany, even though it's technically starting tomorrow. We still need to honor Christmastide, but starting to celebrate Epiphany and this idea that Jesus is revealed to all people, to the Gentiles. And typically when I think about Gentiles, I think about myself and this girl who grew up in Alabama, a Southerner, and has a Christian, and I feel really good. But the thing is, that Gentile does not mean Southern Christian or Memphian. It doesn't mean any of those things, white, Asian. It means everybody else. And even though, so yes, we don't know if the Magi were kings. Nadia Bowles Weber, who I know I talk about all the time, she has a saying where she says, we three kings of Orient are not. Because there's basically nothing in the title of the song that we will sing right after this sermon. So we don't know that the text does not say that there are kings, although there are some allusions to that. And in the scripture we read in Isaiah and in a verse in the Psalms, we don't know if there were three of them. The Eastern Church will celebrate 12 kings for the 12 tribes of Israel. What else do we not know about them? We don't know if they were from very far east. We don't know how far east they were from. So there are lots of things that are a little bit weird. So there are more than likely astrologers. So kind of like a mix between like an astrologer and a really smart scientist. But it was also probably related to their religion, which is a little different for us because we often try to separate those two. But they were wiser, obviously, than us. And they connected the sciences to their theology. And so their religion was probably Zoroastrianism. I can't say that word, but you get the idea. Which is, by the way, not Jewish or Christian. Just saying. They got this astrology from their religion. And if we want to go with the whole kings thing, by the way, there are certain churches in our tradition who name those kings. And let me give you those names since I didn't grow up in one of those traditions. Balthazar, Melchior, and Caspar. And Balthazar, at least in certain Christian traditions, is a Babylonian king. Or more, let's bring it to present day, he's an Iraqi king. Melchior is a Persian king, or we could say an Iranian king. And they had this title for their monarchs, which they actually called everyone who was a king, King of Kings. We've heard that before somewhere. And then there's Casper from India. So by the way, no white people in this story. Even though I know our nativities might signal that. But this Indian guy, this Iraqi guy, and this Iranian rulers all go to Jerusalem because they think that's the place where you're supposed to, where kings are supposed to be born, you know? That's the center of it all. So of course the king would be born there, and they get there and they're a little bit confused, even though they're supposed to be smart guys. And so they get with Herod, and Herod gets all the biblical scholars in, all the priests, all the other wise men in a room, and they say, oh, no. This baby's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so the Iranian ruler, the Iraqi ruler, and the Indian ruler go down to Bethlehem. And, you know, they're kings. They're rulers over a lot. One is the King of Kings, apparently. And maybe Bethany, I don't know. and they walk up, and it says when they saw the star had stopped, they were filled with confusion. Wait, is that what it said? They said they were filled with disappointment. I mean, because they don't see anything spectacular. I mean, they're looking for a king's birth, a king's abode. No, it said that they were overwhelmed with joy. Overwhelmed with joy. And right there in the middle of Bethlehem, you would have thought it was a Dolly concert. There was construction workers and poor single teenage mothers. And there were some country boys in the mix. And there were some PhDs, some political types / religious types. Hard to tell in that day. Maybe hard to tell in certain places here. And there were some black folks, some brown folks, some lighter skinned folks, probably were not white people there, but you know, people of a lot of different races, just not white people. People who would not have been caught dead together. People who literally, do you think the King of Kings is going to be caught dead with a teenage mother? Or wants to be around the country boys who are stinking and smelling, they're going to get their robes dirty. But for the wise men and for everyone else there, it was like nothing they had ever experienced before. A baby, a King of Kings, that instead of inciting war and violence, incited community and connection and joy with a group of folks who had felt completely repulsed by each other at any other time. And there was no shame or embarrassment or judgment or feelings of uncomfortableness. No, the overriding emotion was joy. Joy, joy, joy. Forget the frankincense and gold and myrrh. Joy is the gift. Something that you have never chosen and maybe would have even refused at another time. Something that you thought that you never even wanted. If you receive it and are just open to it, it can bring you overwhelming joy. Now the temptation to fight, to degrade, to go back to war, for all of us is strong. And for us, well, for me, it is easy for me to throw someone else under the bus if I see that they're somehow going to get ahead of me or threaten my own power or get a better position than me. I'm just telling you, I am not that good of a person. I will certainly throw someone under the bus. That is my temptation. But the revelation of Jesus is for all. all. And understanding that, experiencing that, there is no way you can go back to empire as usual, to war, to violence, to death as usual. Just because you're threatened by someone who is different than you, just because you're threatened because they're not Christian, or because they're not Jewish, or because they're not Zoroastrian, or because they're not Muslim, or because they're not Hindu, or because they're somehow different than you. No. The wise men went home a different way as peacemakers. And did you notice it didn't say anything about, oh, and then at the end when there was the altar call, they all came to Jesus, or that they all became Christians, or they all became Jewish, however many of them there were. No, they didn't change their titles or the name of their religion, but they changed the way they were living, all because they were overwhelmed with joy by the simple gift. And so today, I have some gifts for you. These are something that it's a tradition in other churches to, during the season of Epiphany, to give out star words. And I would encourage you, just like the Magi were, just like those folks that go to the Dolly concerts and kind of let everything go, to just receive a star word. And to be open to what God is saying to you through it. You may not like it. I was reading, before I did this, I was wanting to see what experiences people had with star words. And I was reading one pastor, she said her word the first year that she did it was restraint. And she wanted to secretly put it back and try to get another one. You can't do that. Because she really did not like that word. But as the year went on, she started restraining herself at the fellowship, after worship, at fellowship, in the coffee, donuts hour. She started restraining herself at different potlucks and meals, not from relationship, but from an unhealthy relationship with food. And at the end of the year, she had lost 90 pounds and felt healthier than she ever had in her life before. There was a woman who also, in the congregation, who received the word joy, and her name happened to be Joy, yet she often was not living into that word herself. And so she kept it with her the entire year, and she had a sense of joy that came into all parts of her life that she had not experienced before. Another woman had courage, and she really needed that because as she battled cancer and as hospice care came in, she had that star with her even by her bedside. So I'd encourage you to be open and to receive this word. And if you want, you can do what you want with it. I'm not going to show you the words that it has on it right now, but you can stick it on your mirror, your bathroom mirror, in your office, on your refrigerator, anything to remind you that God may be speaking to you in ways you do not even realize, but to be open to what God might do in the places and with the people who you would never expect to find God working in and through. So I'm going to have some of the elders to come up and help me pass these out. So you just take one and pass it. Don't look at it. Let us pray. God of light, God of all people, even us, help us to be open and to receive the gift of your word, of your spirit working through others, and of your very son this day and throughout this whole year. Amen.